Might do your parents some good to come up here and say it too. Amen. But it's so good to see all of our children are getting ready to go back to school tomorrow. Many of them, now some of them, if they go to the Christian school, they've already started back. And so I just wanted to do something special for them today to let them know that I love them and that I'm in their corner and that I'm praying for them. And I want you as a church to be praying for them as well. They're living in very difficult times. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad the grace of God that is available to you and I as adults is available to each and every one of these children here today. And so somebody said, this is our future. And I understand what they're saying when they say that. But not only are they our future, but they are our now. They are the present part of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. And so I want you to know that, again, that I'm for you, and that if there's anything I can do for you as your pastor, I want you to know that I am here for you. But I want to preach some things today to these children. Then I'm going to preach to the parents tonight. So I want you to come back, if you at all can this evening, to come back, and I want to preach to help the family, to help the children, to help the parents, because the education process is more than just sending them to school. There's a great deal to deal with in the education process. I have some bracelets that I'm going to pass out to them here sometime before the end of the service, and it's just simply WWJD bracelets. It's what would Jesus do? And I'm going to give you these bracelets, and I want you to take them with you. I want you to wear them, put them up in your locker, put them on your book bag to be a constant reminder that somebody's praying for you. And then when you get in those difficult situations, that you just ask the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How do we know what would Jesus do? Simply through what he teaches us in his word. So I want you to know that I'm for you, and I'm here this morning to encourage you and help you. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament and chapter number 6. I'm going to read some verses of Scripture and give the children three thoughts today from the Word of God or from our heart this morning. And I pray there'll be a help and a challenge and an encouragement unto each and every one. Now, for you boys that likes camo, there's even some camo ones in there, all right? And I know some of you boys like that camo, so there's some camo ones. Now, they're not many, but there's all different kinds of colors. And I want everybody to get a bracelet, all the little ones. And there should be enough for everybody to remind you that you've got a pastor and you've got a church and you've got parents that are praying for you and supporting you as you endeavor in your education process. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Give everybody just a moment to find their place. Let me get these anniversaries real quick this morning. Randy's not able to be here, but Brother Randy and Miss Libby's celebrating today. Is that right? Today. How many years? 39 years. So let's give them a round of applause. We'll try to get Randy when he's here. All right. Frank and Antha on the 28th. How many years, Miss Antha, were you at? 47. All right. Isn't that wonderful? And then we have Eddie and Rita Blankenship on the 29th. How many, Brother Eddie? 4. All right. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. All right. Appreciate all those that are having anniversaries. All right. Found your place in the precious Word of God. Say amen. All right. Going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's certainly okay. The book of Deuteronomy, and I don't have a whole lot of time this morning to do background because there's some other things I want to do today, but we realize that the children of Israel has now come out of the land of Egypt, and of course, God begins to instruct the man of God, Moses, certainly to instruct the children of Israel on a lot of different things, and you'll find in the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find a lot of different instruction and a lot of different things, but here in chapter number 6, I want to deal with this thought this morning on simply the education of our children. Notice in chapter number 6, verse number 1, now these are the commandments of the statutes and the judgments with which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I have commanded thee, thou, notice this, and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. Notice the blessings that come from following the commandments and the statutes and the word of God. I realize this is written to the children of Israel, but there's still great application for each and every one of us here this morning. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, watch it first of all, shall be in thine heart. But then verse 7 being our text verse this morning that I want us to pay close attention to today. And thou shalt teach them diligently. You ought to underline that word. Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. To thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you this morning that we have this privilege to be able to come back to your house today to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the wonderful singing. And Lord, the worship today, Father, just to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now we come to the precious Word of God. And I pray now as your servant for just a few moments this morning that God, you'll anoint me now with fresh oil. God, I want to be an encouragement and a help to these children, to these parents, and Lord, to this church. I pray, God, that you would touch each of them and help them and encourage them and challenge them as well, Lord, as you challenge us from the Word of God. I pray you put a hedge of protection, Father, about these children as they go back to school. I pray for their teachers, the administrators, and all that take part in the education process of these children. But most of all, help us this morning that we do what you taught the children of Israel to do. That's to teach them the Word of God, the commandments of God, the things of God, that, Lord, they could grow up to know you and to serve you. So I pray this morning, God, that you'd help me and, Lord, touch every child. Most of all, for someone here today lost, that, Father, today would be the good day. Lord, they call upon you for salvation. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Bless our time together now. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments today, I'm going to try to be just as quick as I can because I want to do something at the end of the service today. We're going to give them the bracelet, and then I do want them to line up across here. I want you as parents, and I want you as the church to come. I want us to have a word of prayer with these children before we send them off tomorrow, certainly to the school, and certainly to continue to pray for them as they go through their education process, because education is very important. I never discourage against education. But friend, I'll tell you what, it's sad that we're worried about education as far as the world's concerned, but we do not educate them if we're not careful on the things of God. And so this morning, it needs to be a great balance of the process of the education process. We have before us these children sitting across here, and there's no telling what God has in store for them if this morning they'll get that education, and they'll certainly look to God today. There's no telling. We may have doctors that are seated here. We may have lawyers that's seated here. We may have missionaries that's seated here. We may have former teachers, future teachers that are seated here. We may have nurses that are seated here. There's no telling what God will do with these young people, and let us be a part of that education process. And so this morning, I want to think about that for a few moments, the education of our children. And this morning, you already know this, but let me remind you of some things. The children are the greatest asset that God has entrusted unto us
as parents, as grandparents, and even unto the body of Christ, His church. We send them to school to deal with their intellect, to help them get an education. But also this morning, as I've already said, let us make sure we do our part in educating them concerning the things of God and how to deal with life. Friend, I'll tell you, we're living in a time like we've never lived before, and they need support, and they need help, and they need encouragement, and they need to be taught not only through word, but also through deed and examples. And I'll get into that probably more so tonight. I want to speak to our children for a few moments this morning. The word educate, now if you'll get your Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word educate, now I found it interesting as I was studying and looking at this word educate, how that it's probably changed some as far as the way the world that would define it today. But in 1828, Webster's dictionary said educate is to bring up a child to instruct, to inform and enlighten the understanding, to instill into the minds principles of art, science, morals, religion, and behavior. To educate children well is one of the most important duties of parents and guardians. Now, did you get that this morning? To educate children well is one of the most important duties of parents and guardians. And then the word education. This is what I really want you to see this morning. The word education. To give children a good education in manners, arts, and science is important. But to give them a religious education is indispensable. That word indispensable simply means absolutely necessary. Could you believe that come from an English dictionary? Amen. If it come out in 2018, it probably wouldn't say that. But I'll tell you, friend, the importance of a Christian education. In other words, educating them on the things of God. Again, a religious education is indispensable, and an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect these duties. And so this morning, the education of our children. It's important that they do learn how to read and write and do arithmetic and science and all those wonderful things, because there's no telling how God could use them in His work, certainly as they grow up and mature and get education. But there's three things that I want to leave with the children this morning. Now, the rest of you ought to just get in here and go with me today. Amen. Because I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing unto these children. And again, let them know that I'm on their side, that I am praying for them, and I want to see the very best for each and every one of them. Matter of fact, do you know God's got the very best for each and every one of them? Now, some may grow up to work on cars. We need mechanics. Some may grow up to build houses. We need carpenters. I mean, there's no telling how God will use their life. So the first thing that I want to leave with you on the education of our children this morning, and in speaking mainly to the children today, first of all, I want you to know that God has a great purpose and plan for each and every one of you. And God's plan, as we've already said, is the best plan. And not only for the children, but for each and every one of us, God's plan and God's purpose is always the best. Amen. It is always the best. God has a great purpose and plan for each of you. Now, it won't be easy. There'll be difficulties. There'll be mountaintops. There'll be valleys. There'll be obstacles that will come your way. But, friend, I want to tell you, the Bible says that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we've got a true and a living God that we can look to today? Hallelujah. And will instruct us and help us in what His plan and purpose is for our lives. God has a plan and purpose just for you. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want any of you to miss what God has for you. Because what He has is always best. I like what David said, and you're familiar with it this morning. Psalms 139:14. David said, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You are important to the Master. Hallelujah. You are important to the Master. As each of us here this morning is. Why, how do you know that, preacher? I don't live for him. I don't know him this morning. You're still important because that's the reason that he came. He came and went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life that you and I could know him today in a free pardon of sin and then begin to fulfill that plan and purpose that he has for our lives. You say, well, preacher, and for some of you young people, you've not got to that place yet, but you will. But the first thing that I thought about this morning as far as concerning the plan and purpose that God has for your life is, number one, he wants you to be saved. Some of you have made professions of faith and called upon Christ for salvation, and that's wonderful. And that's what it's all about. Listen, that's where the plan and purpose of God begins in your life. Now, that didn't begin in my life till I was 20 years of age. I would say to you this morning, I thank God whenever God begins to deal with you and begins to convict you and call you, that's when you need to, some of you have not made that move yet. Don't make that move till God knocks on your heart and lets you know that you need a Savior. And friend, when he does that, he's letting you know that he cares for you and that he loves you, and his plan and purpose for your life is for you to be saved. Hallelujah. Thank God, isn't it good to be saved today? Isn't it good to know that God loved you and I that much? That thank God he would knock upon our heart's door and bring us to the realization that we need a Savior. Oh, young person, when God knocks at your heart, thank God, don't turn him away. Come to Calvary. I'll tell you what, he'll forever change your life. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And friend, begin you on a journey that you could not even imagine. Amen. How about it, parents? How about it, church? I want to see every one of them saved by the good grace of God. That ought to be your number one goal, is to see them saved. And for those that are saved this morning, you ought to rejoice. Hallelujah. That's the greatest decision that an individual could ever make in their life, whatever their age might be. You may be here today as a grown-up. You may be here today as a parent. You may be here today as a grandparent, and you've never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, the greatest thing you could do in your life today is to call upon him for salvation. God's plan and God's purpose for your life, young people, is number one, for you to be saved. Number two, I promise I'm going to try to get through this quickly. Not only does he want you to be saved, but secondly, he wants each of you to serve him when that time comes. If God saves you, he will use you. And even at a young age, think about the examples in the Bible. Think about David, just a young man, and God begins to use him. God anoints him as a young man to become the king of Israel. There's other examples, and I don't have time to get on those this morning and preach on those. But today, realize that God has a plan for you, not only to be saved, but secondly, to serve him. And you can even do that at this age. How can I serve him, preacher? Just live like God wants you to live. Be a witness and a light wherever you go. I know it's difficult at school. I can't even imagine having to go back to school today in the way that a lot of things, it's a lot different in the way when I come up and when many of you come up and went through the school system. It's a lot different. But again, we've still got the same God. There's still good teachers out there. There's still good administrators out there. There's still people that wants to help you, not only intellectually, but spiritually this morning. And friend, I want to tell you something, young people. Commit your life to however God wants you and to serve him. God's purpose and plan for your life is to be saved. God's purpose and plan for your life is to serve him. If God gives you the education to be a doctor, then you do that the very best you can do it. And do it. There's no telling what kind of doors God would open if you wanted to be a doctor. Or whatever God gives you to do in life. These are future Sunday school teachers. These are future, and some of them are already singing in the choir, and hallelujah. But the education process is more than just sending them to school. It's letting them know that there's a God that loves them and a God that will help them. in every process and aspect of their life.
God's plan and God's purpose for your life to be saved. God's purpose and plan for your life is to serve Him. God's plan and God's purpose for your life. I've already made mention of this and I'll move on, but He wants you to understand the necessity of spiritual things, to live scripturally. Oh, it's tough. Could we say it's tough this morning, adults? Could we say that it's tough, adults? But can we not do it with His help? And you can do it too. To live scripturally. Thirdly, or secondly, knowing does God have a great purpose and plan for each of you? Secondly, this will relate more to our older children, maybe not so much to the young children. And I'll tread really light right here as much as I can. But God wants you to guard your purity. Now, you're not going to hear this from the world. You're not going to see this on your average cartoons or the things that you might watch on TV. Matter of fact, you're going to probably find right the opposite. But as your pastor, I want you to know that God wants you to guard your purity. You say, preacher, what is that? I'm not going to get into great detail. I'm going to try to let mom and daddy explain all the ins and the outs and things that they need to explain to you. But I want you to know I have a responsibility to you. I have a responsibility to your family to let you know that you need to guard your purity. We're living in a crazy world where this world has taken what should be beautiful between a man and a woman that are committed within the bonds of marriage. Hit me up, church. Preacher, you ought not to be preaching this. Well, somebody ought to preach it. Maybe I can keep some of them out of trouble. Maybe I can keep some of them from some heartache. Amen. You ought to guard that purity with everything that you are. Why? Because it's something that's precious that God gave each and every one of you. Whether you're a young man or whether you're a young lady, you ought to guard that purity. There's the right time and the right place for everything. God created the relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, as I said, something that's very special and something that's very unique. Don't let this world rob you of that. And don't let them convince you of all the immoralities that's going on around us. Friend, God made male. God made female. God made Adam, put him in the garden. Adam needed a helpmeet. God put Adam to sleep, took from him a rib, formed a woman, and brought that woman to him when the time was right. God will give you the right partner when it's time. Don't worry about it as young people. You've got too many other things to worry about. Don't let somebody rob you of your innocence this morning. Amen. Because somebody will rob you of that. Don't let them have it. That is something that is sacred. That is something that is special when that time comes. It's awful quiet in here. God wants you to guard your purity. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, Paul writing unto Timothy, he says, keep thyself pure. That word pure. Now let me tell you what it means. It means clean. It means innocent. It means modest. Mom, Dad, if you don't want the boys looking at your daughters and thinking about things they ought not to be thinking about, dress them modestly. I'm preaching good. You send them to school and everything hanging out and everything that they want to look at is visible. I can promise you, if you're not careful, they're going to lose their purity. Amen. God wants you to guard it. Because it's something He's given to you.
There's nothing no more special between a young man and a young lady whenever that time comes. That intimate time is just between them and them alone. It'll get you in trouble. Young men, I was a young man at one time. I know how it is. Hey, man, I know how it is, Jacob. I know I look ancient, but I know how it is. Keep your mind on other things. Amen. I'm amazed now. Of course, Drew worked in a middle school. I'm just glad I'm not up there all the time. I don't believe I could handle it. I'd probably have a heart attack or something. But all the drama. This and wanting to go with this and breaking up with this and wanting to go with that. Just forget about all that. Concentrate on something else. When God wants you to have the one that's for you, He will let you know it. I need some help. Preacher, I didn't guard my purity. And some of us may not have. But I guarantee we tell every one of these young people to do that very thing. Amen. Amen. World ain't going to tell you that. Well, we're living in a corrupted world. You're going to hear all kinds of things. You're going to see all kinds. I can't believe even in middle school some of the things that my wife comes home and I said, surely not. This thing of homosexuality. I'm just going to go ahead and name it. It's wrong in the sight of God. But I'll tell you what, this world will try to convince you that it's right. Seen a thing the other day that said they were allowing some drag queens to go into elementary school. Not here. Lord help us if it come here. If there's going to be any rioting, there ought to be some men. But going into first and second graders and teaching them that ungodly lifestyle. But then they fuss if somebody wants to bring a Bible in and teach them about Jesus. Stay on guard. Guard your purity. Because that's something special between you and that special person that God has for you one day. It means clean. It means innocent. It means modest. It means chaste. Chaste, which is dealing with a body concerning the opposite sex. Again, I don't want to go overboard here. Don't want to go over the line. But we'd probably be amazed at what some of these children have already heard and possibly what some of them might have seen. We need to pray for them. Remember, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it! Guard your purity. Let me give you three things about the purity. Number one, keep a pure heart. Did Jesus not say something in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart? Something to say about a pure heart. And the only way we can have a pure heart is to give that heart to God. And then allow this Word of God to become the roadmap for our life. Now listen, get all the education you can get, but don't let them take the education of this away from you in the process of doing it. Keep a pure heart. Not only a pure heart, but secondly, a pure mind. A pure mind. Boy, I tell you what, there's all kinds of things that will attack our minds. Even as young people. Satan is a rascal. Satan is a liar. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a destroyer. But you don't have to listen to him. I'm glad the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And some of you are sitting here today saying, that's only for adults. That's only for adults. No, that is for you. The same God that saved me and lives in me and helps me and guides me and directs me is the same God that will live in each and every one of you and help you to keep a pure heart and a pure mind. And thirdly, I've already hit on it, but a pure body. A pure body.
Don't get caught up in the immorality of this world. Again, keep yourself for the one who God intends. There's one thing that ought to bring you into a relationship with the opposite sex, and that's these two words, I do.
Oh, I know you don't hear this kind of preaching much anymore, but we need it. That's what's happened. The preachers don't have enough backbone to stand in the pulpit and tell the young people, hallelujah, wait for God. And when you say I do and make that commitment, it'll be something that will be special for you. And God will be pleased with you.
God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life. God wants you to guard your purity. And thirdly, I'm about done. Some of you are going to be happy about that. Amen. Preacher, why would you do this? Because I love you. And I want the very best for each and every one of you. But more than that, God does. God wants the very best for you. Thirdly, and this is a tough one.
You thought number two was tough.
Number three. I'm starting with Ethan, going all the way down here to Matthew, and all the way back up this row. Every one of these fellas is going to face a thing called peer pressure. Third thing I want to leave you with this morning is you don't have to give in to it.
Right. Right.
You don't have to give in to it. You don't have to give in to it. Let me go down here and tell these so they make sure that you don't have to give in to it. Because you are going to face it. Let's be real.
Every day of your life as you go off to school, you're going to deal with it.
Even we as adults deal with it.
We want to fit in. I don't know anybody that don't want to fit in somewhere. I mean, let's just be realistic about this thing. We all want to fit in. We all want to have friends. We all want to have the feeling that we are accepted and that we're part of the crowd and that we're part of the gang. Anybody remember the Little Rascals? Oh, we even got some of these young fellas know who I'm talking about. Now, if I was going to be part of a gang, that's a gang I'd want to be a part of. I don't know what they call me, but they call me something, I'm sure. I may not want to know. Oh, I would to God we could have some gangs like that. Let me tell you something. Let's have a Pleasant Grove gang. Amen. Let's have a Pleasant Grove gang. Somebody you can lean on. Somebody that you know you can fit in with. Somebody you know that can be friendly with. Somebody that you can do things with. Somebody you can do things with that you know God's not going to be displeased with. Hallelujah. Just have a Pleasant Grove gang.
Because you're going to need one another. Because that peer pressure is real. Hey, we had it when I was in school. I know it was 100 years ago, but we still had it. You thought that's funny, didn't you? I know it's real. You're going to be offered all kinds of things. Let's just be real about it. You're going to be offered things that will destroy your life.
Just try it. Just try it one time. You don't have to try it. The problem is you try it one time.
And then you're hooked on it. Right here sits a man that's a young man that I'm so proud of. He's had to see it. He's had to witness it. And he's wrote a book about it. So that you won't fall into that trap. Peer pressure. You don't have to give in to it. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. The same God that will save you is the same God that will keep you, is the same God that will help you and encourage you when those times of pressure come. Amen, preacher. Thank you, preacher. Caring enough for our young people to tell them the truth. I don't want to have to come to prison getting none of you out of jail. You might ought to call me before you call mom and daddy, though. I will come and visit you in jail. But I hope that never happens. But I tell you what, if you go down the wrong road, you get hooked up with the wrong people. You'll end up in trouble. Well, preacher, the God that you're talking about, He'll help me if I get in trouble. Sure He will. But friend, don't scar your life over something foolish. You do not have to give in to the peer pressure. I wrote this down. I want you to get it this morning. I promise I'm going to soon be done. You can be friendly, but choose your true friends wisely. It's often been said that through life's way, most people can count on one hand who their true friends are. Now, they'll be your friends as long as you'll do what they want you to do. Remember the story of the prodigal? As long as he had money, he had friends. But when the money was gone, he found himself down in the hog pen, hoping and praying for some husk and some crumbs to fall from the hog trough so he could have something to fill his belly. It'll get you in trouble. You can be friendly, but be careful who you become friends with. I'm glad the Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You need friends. This Pleasant Grove gang, you need friends. But choose them wisely. I could say the same thing to us as adults. And some of these kids are sitting here thinking, well, mom and daddy don't ever have to face that. Oh, yes, they do. Mom and daddy, be careful of the friends you choose. Be careful of the friends you let come into your house. Be careful of what you let some of your so-called friends bring into your house. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. Because these fellas are watching everything you do. And they're counting on you. But I want to say something to you kids. I hope and pray as your pastor and as your friend that I don't ever do anything that lets you down. I want to be the godly example that you could look to in a world that wants nothing to do with God. You don't have to give in to the peer pressures. Because you've got somebody that's rooting for you. You don't have to give in to it. Some of you, if you're not careful, you will. You'll give in to it. And you'll experiment with it. And the first thing you know, they'll have you captured in it. You don't have to give in to the peer pressure. Be friendly, but choose your true friends wisely. Don't let others pressure you into doing that which you know is wrong. Preacher, how do we know if it's wrong? If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. It was wrong when God allowed the man to pin it. It's wrong now, and 2,000 years from now, it'll still be wrong. Don't let somebody talk you into doing what you know is right. Stay away from that stuff that's wrong. Matter of fact, we got a young man here that works for Mount Airy Police. And he probably has to see all kinds of things with young people. Do we have anybody else that works for the police? Anybody else? This young man back here, he works for the police. Barney Fife, Deputy Mayberry. But I'm sure, young man, you see things with young people all the time that just breaks your heart. Because people have given in to peer pressures. We have a lawyer sitting up here. If we have one lawyer, we can have another one. Amen. And I'm sure he has to deal with young people sometimes, that things that breaks his heart, that they get themselves into. And most of the time, it's because of peer pressure. Listen, enjoy your young life. Enjoy it. Enjoy your young life. Because it will soon be past. Oh, that old stickler preacher, he don't want me to have fun doing anything. Have fun. Enjoy your life. But don't throw your life away. Amen. As a young person. Don't give in to the peer pressure. First Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Look to God. Ask yourself this question when they come around and they want you to do something you know you're not supposed to do. Ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? He'll help you escape that temptation. Listen, there's temptations out there galore. And I'd say to your parents, beware of those temptations. Don't let those temptations come in your house. I'm going to preach more on that tonight. I hope you'll come back. I don't know whether they'll come back or not. Do you? When that pressure comes, when that temptation comes, I hope you'll have in your heart and in your mind to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Preacher, you're asking an awful lot of these children. I don't think I'm asking a bit more of these children this morning than God Himself would ask of them. Because at the end of the day, God wants what's best for each and every one of you. And again, I don't want you to miss it. There's people sitting in this church today that will come around by testimony and say, don't miss it. Back in my young life, I missed it, and I'm having to pay some of the consequences today because I missed it. Don't miss it. Well, I'd like to see God call some of these young men to preach. If that's His will. Maybe send them to a mission field. Win souls. While the next Billy Graham could be seated here among a preacher, I just don't know about all that. Well, see, that's your problem. That's God's business. Praise God, if I go out and cut trees down for a living, trim trees, that's all right too. God will use you and use your life. Don't throw it away. The education of our children. God's got a plan and a purpose. Guard your purity. Don't give in to the peer pressure of this world. What would Jesus do? I hope throughout this school year, as those peer pressures come your way, you got to face all that wonderful testing. That's all they do now is give them tests. They face a lot. And they need to know somebody's for them. And I know you parents are. I didn't come this morning to beat up and say you're not. But I personally, as a pastor, as their pastor, wanted to let them know that I am for them. And that I'm here for them, with them. And I want to see every one of them fulfill what God has for their life. I pray some of them gets through school, gets their education, gets hitched one day, starts having children, and brings them right back here. Amen. To be a part of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, or continue to be a part of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. It's tough out there, kids. It's a tough world. I know you want a camouflaged one. Archie, you probably want one of them, won't you? It's a tough world out there. It's tough. But you got somebody on your side that's bigger than anything in this world.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to live scripturally. And be concerned just as much about your spiritual life as you are your intellectual life. You put those two together and there's no telling what God will do in your life. I want us to stand to our feet today. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we come and we ask you this morning, Father, to take the words that you've placed upon my heart for this service, for these young people. And I pray, Lord, you'd ever burn them in their hearts and their minds. And Father, I pray most of all today, Lord, if there's one here and never called upon you for salvation, whether it's a young person, whether it's an adult, male, female, boy or girl, man or woman, the most important thing that could take place in this service today is that they would give their heart and their life unto you. And Lord, there may be other issues that somebody needs to come and place upon this altar this morning. I do not know, but Lord, you do. So right now in the stillness of this service, I commit the invitation to your hands. You work and you move and you speak. And Lord, we'll give you praise and honor and glory. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I wonder, would there be one today in the midst of this service that would want to come and say, Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never been saved. Preacher, I need to be saved. God has knocked on my heart's door. And God has let me know that I need to be saved. I wonder, would there be one anywhere? Anywhere in this building, maybe God's speaking to your heart about some area of your life that you need to come and you need to commit to Him. I would invite you to come, maybe as a young person, maybe as a parent, a grandparent, maybe as a member of the church. I wonder, would there be one anywhere? Would there be one anywhere? All right, children, I want you to come just line up across here, just like you are there. Just come up here and turn right back around towards the congregation. You can just stand there on the floor if you want to. My, what a good-looking group. What a good-looking group. They're getting ready to go back to school tomorrow. Some of them's already started, those that are... Come on up here, y'all in preschool thing. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here, Houston. They won't bite. I won't bite, I promise. Mom, Dad, come on. Come on, gather around your children. Come on, church, gather around your children. We're going to have a word of prayer right here with these children on this altar this morning. We're going to put it in God's hands.